Welcome to Hardstop, talking marketing, tech, business, and more with industry leaders and game changers.
We're glad to have on the show today from the Indiana Food and Fuel Association, Scott Imus.
It's kind of crazy the way we market that product, but services like Vibenomics enables us to get our message to that person who may not be inclined to go inside the store at that particular time.
And now, it's your Hard Stop host, Adam Ritz.
Joining us in studio, Scott Imus. Scott, how are you?
Good. I'm glad to be here.
So glad you made it in studio today. I know you're a busy guy. We'll get you out of here. You got a Hard Stop coming up. You are the, is it executive director or just main cheese?
Executive director.
Executive director of the Indiana Food and Fuel Association, formerly known as the Indiana Petroleum Marketers Association.
And Convenience Store Association.
Indiana Petroleum Marketers and Convenience Store Association.
Yes, it was a mouthful.
And so now, I got it right the first time, Indiana Food and Fuel.
Right.
I can't screw that up.
Right.
So let's talk real quick about what you do as executive director for the Indiana Food and Fuel Association.
Certainly. We have a small staff. There's two others. I have a person that does most of our meeting and membership, and then another person who does most of our regulatory work and lobbying. We also use a contract lobbyist, but we represent the convenience store industry and the small grocery store industry in Indiana. We educate them. We have seminars throughout the year, including our big show, which we do with three other states in Indianapolis every spring. And then we also do weekly newsletters informing them, alerts if there is a special change in state law they need to worry about. And then we keep them apprised during the general session when they meet of legislative activities which may impact their business, and we will weigh in on that legislation representing the industry. Another one of my jobs is often to talk to the media. Fortunately, have not had occasion as gas prices have been relatively stable. But when prices would go up suddenly to $4 or what have you after Hurricane Katrina, I was frequently on the news and giving some guidance as to why those prices were moving that way.
They don't blame you for
no,
the gas
no,
prices.
But they always want to know what it's going to do, and I always say, if I could be that good, I would be in Vegas and not in my current job right now. So
do you have members of your association? And let's say that I own a convenience store, mm-hmm. and it's called Adam Stop or mm-hmm. Adam's Sip and Shop. What would you, I guess, provide to me as a member, along with those newsletters or information? I'm intrigued to find out about the lobbying you said you do with state
with
politicians
the state legislature,
and
correct.
Legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you do for me as a member?
Well, as a member, you're on the floor. You're on the main floor of our operation. So you're going to get educated. When it comes to setting policy, you're going to be at the table deciding what should the industry's position be on a certain issue. We're going to expose you to other members throughout the state and even nationally if you take advantage of those opportunities. So you're going to learn what other people are doing in business. You're going to learn who your competitors are. You're going to learn the newest trend. We have an upcoming seminar on environmental issues. So we're bringing in people to talk about all sorts of issues regarding underground storage tanks to electrification at your location. Should you put in EV chargers? What are the obstacles? What is the benefit for that? So we will be your information source, and we're in Indianapolis, so it's easy for you to get to. There's no long travel across the country to go to seminars. We provide good content right here in the state for members.
So with a concept or an issue like environmental problems, or maybe not problems isn't the right word, but environmental issues with storing gasoline and fuel mm-hmm. underground in a tank next to your convenience store, I mean, did you get certified in environmental engineering? I mean, how do you know this?
No, our members will hire those people, and those groups actually will be part of our membership as well. In addition to our regular members who own or operate The retail facility will also have members who supply or service that industry. So they will be members as well. Advantage for them to be members is they can network with their potential customer base. So we provide social activities. We provide, again, educational seminars where they could exhibit and they could tell people exactly what they do and how they can help them do their job better. And I guess overall, that's the purpose of our organization. We want our members to succeed, and we will want to make them do their job better, whether it's influencing legislation on their behalf or just providing them information on their own individual issue.
Our guest is Scott Imus with Indiana Food and Fuel. You represent convenience stores across the state of Indiana. You work closely with other Midwestern states and their associations. Can you give me an example? You mentioned lobbyists and working with legislation. What's a recent example of a lobbyist within your office working at a state capitol building? What are they talking about?
Well, unfortunately, it's an issue I've been talking about for decades, and that is to get our members the ability to sell cold beer. We can sell beer in our convenience stores, but it has to be warm. We can sell wine that can be cold with a higher alcohol content, but we cannot refrigerate beer before the sale. So we've been trying to change that rather archaic law for at least the last decade and have not succeeded as of yet.
What's your prediction? When's it going to happen?
I would think in the next several years. There is no reason not to, particularly so we can sell wine-based products legally cold. And manufacturers are being very creative in making bourbon tasting looks like a spirit, but it's really a wine-based component. There's popular brands in C-stores now, from a Long Island iced tea to margaritas in little airport bottles that, again, are wine-based, so we could sell. So the lines are really blurring. It's very difficult. Hard seltzers now, it depends if they're malt-based or wine-based, depending on whether we can refrigerate them. So the times are changing, and eventually Indiana, we're the only state right now in the nation that tells retailers, depending on temperature, how they can sell their products. We're the only one that discriminates against cold beer. So it's kind of crazy, but we keep after it.
If a C-store could just adjust the temperature of their air conditioning or lack of furnace.
Well, actually,
this beer's cold. It's not our fault.
Right.
We just don't have a furnace.
Right, right. I've always wanted to have a day a year where they turn down, on July 4th, they turn down their thermostat to 58 degrees.
In the store,
And to have the store. But we've thought of everything. I've thought of everything in this last 10 years. I thought about using liquid nitrogen because we can cool after the sale. So having the clerk squirt it with liquid nitrogen, but unfortunately, physics got in the way of that one. That did not cool the can uniformly. We tried it. We had a member that tried it, but did not work.
You're this close to inventing something that's going to make you a millionaire and allow someone to walk out of a C-store with a cold beer.
Well, actually, we do have cooler bags that we sell or we give away, and it's at chillindiana.com, and they're bags, and if you buy a product, you can buy the bag. It's reusable, very inexpensive, and you can go use the soda fountain ice. Buy your warm beer, go over to the soda machine, fill the bag with soda ice, and then walk out the store with beer cooling, and in 15 minutes, it's ready to drink. So
by the time you get home with your pizza, you've got a
cold
beer.
Or doing yard work, or to the barbecue, or wherever, or to tailgating. I mean, wherever you're at, it's there. So that's our sort of workaround, but it's absurd to put the customer through that.
I want to switch gears and talk about advertising, marketing. You provide resources to your members, whether it's environmental ideas for how they store their fuel underground, maybe, whether it's lobbying or legislation, connections with the state capitals, or working with other states in the Midwest, or providing social activities. You say you've got conventions throughout the year. Marketing and advertising ideas. For our listeners, full disclosure, Vibonomics, that's hosting this podcast, is a advertiser within the C-store industry. How do you, I guess, get some ideas, marketing or advertising channel ideas, down to your members? And what are some of those ideas?
Probably our biggest thing is our annual convention, which again is held every springtime. It involves my colleagues in Ohio, Kentucky, and Illinois. We have about 2,000 people that come to the convention center. Probably about 400 to 500 exhibitors. That's really good exposure to reach our industry. And along with that, we have seminars. And again, the goal of the other state associations and myself is to improve their bottom line. So how do you hire more effectively? How do you market your business more effectively? How do you compete? It's a challenging time for the convenience store world when you look at all the external pressures, cars getting better mileage per gallon, less stops at to get fuel, electric cars, which you can do overnight, Amazon delivering that day products or grocery stores that product. So our industry has had to change over the last 20, 30 years, and we're continuing to evolve that way. You see convenience stores become bigger and bigger, having seating, having restaurants now, made-to-order restaurants, not just the roller dogs of old, but really good quality food.
Hey, now, there's nothing wrong with a roller dog.
Not occasionally, but there is some good cuisine out there. So it's changing, and we're going to have to keep changing to remain relevant. You know, it took 20 years to get 1 million electric vehicles in the market. It took 18 months to get the second million, and it took 8 months to get the third million. So this is something that we certainly have to pay attention to. And if you're on the interstate based and you don't have a charging station, you might want to think about putting a charging station and then provide people with workspace so they could take their laptop in while their car is charging to do some work. So I think the industry will have to continue to survive to be relevant as the times change.
How much of your message needs to reach the average consumer instead of the C-store industry?
Yeah, I mean, part of what I do too is I'll go around to local civic groups and talk about gas prices. Most people think, retailers will make, a dollar on a gallon of gasoline, where in reality, it's on good days, it's 15 cents. On bad days, it's 8 cents. So it's really, fuel is not really a great profit center for them. They need to get people inside the store. That's where they make their money. When people buy soda or chips or, a gallon of milk, they make much more off that than they do the gallon of gasoline.
Well, that's where Vibonomics comes into play, as we produce convenience store radio for branded convenience stores across the country, and we do that. We tell people out at the pump to go inside to purchase these wonderful items that are on sale.
Part of what I joke about in terms of that getting people inside the store and why your services are important, we hate credit card purchases, right? We pay 2 to 3% per transaction. There are chargebacks if somebody reports the card stolen. Sometimes that falls back to the retailer. But what do? We make that the easiest, most convenient way for somebody to buy fuel, and that keeps you out of the store. I know when I have to go to a traditional grocery store and I need butter, it's not right inside the door. It's way in the back, so I'm sure to fill up my cart with everything else on the way back to the cash register. We basically say, don't come in our store. We'll give you your fuel right here, and then you don't even have to come visit us and be tempted. So it's kind of crazy the way we market that product, but services like Vibonomics enables us to get our message to that person who may not be inclined to go inside the store at that particular time.
Yeah, go inside the store, because the roller dogs are now two for
a
dollar.
That's right.
Well, Scott, it's a pleasure having you on the show. I know you've got a hard stop. I'll get you out of here. Just one last question. When you go into a convenience store, What does the executive director of a convenience store entity, what do you look for? What do you have any secrets for us? Could I buy a banana and a certain candy bar and mix them and it tastes like something else? I mean, do you have any really secret tricks of the trade?
No, I'm a chocolate-holic, so I always look for the chocolates.
King-size candy bars. Yeah. You go straight for the king-size candy bars.
I claim I can't tell the difference. I thought I picked up a regular one, but when I unwrap it, it's a big one. Oh, well. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I want you to have a great day. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Enjoyed being here.
We've come to a hard stop. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends to download and listen to all Hard Stop shows at HardStopShow.com or subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. I've got a hard stop, and this voiceover session is over.